Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dave and Linda McDowell, and you're listening to Powerfully You on Blog Talk Radio. I hope everyone is having a good day.
And I am. How about you?
I've had a wonderful Father's Day. My Father's Day was Linda saying, "What do you want to do?" And we made the most of it. It was a nice little calm but good time together.
So, yeah, it was.
And I do have a child that I have not heard from today, but that's okay. There's other circumstances for that, and we'll go into that. That's a whole other story. I did hear from relatives and other people wishing me a happy Father's Day, so that's all good.
And you're a good dad, and happy Father's Day again. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. You know, we appreciate you and glad you do what you do because you bring life that's good.
You know, I don't want to get into a fatherhood session today. That's not what our topic is, but I will just say this. For me personally, the role of father is my highest calling. I put that above all others, maybe other than husband, but it's the one I'm most proud of. It's the one I'm most honored to have been given, and it does kind of fall into our conversation a little bit. But Lynn and I have talked, and there's a couple things. And guys, if you're listening to our show, you're not going to get smooth professionalism.
That's for sure.
And you know what? We decided we don't want smooth professionalism. And let me explain why. We want people comfortable. When you're talking to us, you're talking to regular people. You know, yeah, we may be further on God's path. We may not be. But you have no reason to feel intimidated. And, you know, you should feel pretty comfortable with us, I hope. And if you aren't, I hope you will become comfortable. And as you listen to us, you will realize we're not that profound. We're just paying attention.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We hear God, and a lot of times we're in our, what I call our breakfast nook, and we are sipping coffee or tea as we are right now. So if you need to just take a break and get you some coffee and tea and join in this conversation, we like to think of you as sitting at the coffee table with us as our guest as we discuss whatever topic we choose to discuss that week. So join us.
And that's really the truth. You really are joining us literally over a cup of coffee. Luna's got her tea. I've got my coffee. And this really is an open discussion. You're just really kind of getting to hear us just like we do often. We just are taping this one, you know, and inviting you to join us. We also realized that for the last 3 to 4 sessions, we forgot to even give you a call-in number. But your call-in number, of course, if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, which you would be, it should be there for you to see, but we're going to give it to you just to be safe. 646-787-1589. Feel free to call, interrupt, whatever. If we're not at a good interrupt spot, just hang on there. We will get to you. So that was kind of what one of the things is again, just to encourage people to feel comfortable, to know that they're safe, to know that they can call in and just disagree with us or agree with us or add a perspective that we haven't added or bring up a point or a technique or something they've learned that applies to the subject. We would love to hear those things and talk to you about them, so do feel free to call in. We were talking about this morning, and we came up with a new little term that I'm going to share with our audience, and maybe it'll stick, maybe it won't. We'll let God take care of that. But, Linda, did I tell you what a cookie person is? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Can you describe a cookie person?
I'm going to let you do that.
Okay. I have this definition. It's not my own. I stole it many years ago. A cookie person. And I hope each and every one of you have at least one cookie person in your life. A cookie person is that person who, no matter what you do, no matter whether they agree with you or not, they love you. You're safe to them. You can go to them and tell them the worst thing you've ever done, and they'll put their arms around you and say, I'm so sorry, how can I help? They are honest with you. They'll tell you the truth, but they'll tell you the truth in love. They're just your safe person. I was trying to think of examples. Grandmothers and grandfathers are a lot of grandkids, cookie people.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? You just know you're okay. You know, they may not approve, but they're not going to push you away or throw you away. And the reason I'm bringing that discussion up is we want to develop a cookie community. That was the word that came to us this morning. And I know it sounds silly. I don't care. We hope that as we broadcast and people listen, and I hope more people will follow and pay attention and grow with us, that we'll have a cookie community where you know that you can call and be safe and not feel like you're going to be beaten up or any of those things. We may not agree with you, but we promise, we do promise to be loving, kind, courteous, respectful, and Christ-like. And if we're not, you call us on it. We don't want anything but that. And we've said this before, and I will say this, even though it is a cookie person community, if you call and you're ugly and you're mean and you're nasty or vulgar, we will cut you off.
Yes, we will.
Even if you agree with us, we will cut you off because we're not going to allow that on this program. That's just not the tone.
Definitely not. And
would you like to introduce our subject, or would you like for me to do it?
Well, I'll start off. We're going to be talking about the gift of responsibility. And I know that Dave and I have had numerous conversations about what a gift that is and how, you know, and I can put that in the context of being a parent. You know, there were times when being a parent was a great gift for me because there were times in your life when you just kind of felt like, ugh, just give up. I don't want to do this anymore. And I would look at one of my daughters and feel like, I got to keep going because I got these two little girls depending on me. So sometimes we think of responsibility. Sometimes you think of responsibility and you think of the dread and just the going on, and it becomes overwhelming sometimes. But then when you think of the gift of what your responsibility, you look at your children or your family, and you realize what a gift that is, and it helps you to get through the day-to-day.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure. I don't recall seeing this term anywhere else. I believe it's a Davism. It doesn't really matter, but it's a term I came up with many years ago, actually. But let me give you an example. Here's a really good example. We'll tell more of our story. Sometimes it'll be bit in pieces. Maybe one night we'll actually do a full testimony or whatever. But I have a drug background, not as bad as many. I was fortunate in that I didn't get into drugs that were quite so addictive. But I did enjoy, and I'm being honest, numerous drugs. At 23, I surrendered my life to God. I really reached that place where I said, Lord, I don't want to live like this anymore. I need something. And God provided me what I needed to begin to understand a personal relationship with God. Then 2 years later, I decided that because I had this relationship and because God was my helper, that I could depend on Him and trust Him to help me, I chose to accept an extremely big responsibility, which was raise a child, a five-year-old, as a single parent. And the reason that is a huge responsibility. Fortunately, I had tons of support. I had brothers. I had parents, Tom's grandparents, who helped me. I don't know how I would have done it by myself. But when I talk about the gift of responsibility, I'm going to put it in the context of being a father. So I have this five-year-old that I'm taking to church, that I'm talking to about God, that we pray together. That God—that's just a part of our conversation in life. It wasn't just church on Sunday. It could be in the car at any point in time that we might be talking about God, that I would be sharing things with my son. Well, we all go through seasons. You know, we go through times that are tough, where you just go, man, I just don't want to do this anymore. And I would have those times, and I would think, man, I sure would like to go smoke a joint. And I'm just being absolutely, man, it sure would be nice just to, you know, just to chill out for a little while, da-da-da-da-da. And then I would think, nope, I can't do that. I have a son who's looking at me as an example. And even if I did it and he never found out, I would know. And I just couldn't face that. I had a God that expected me to walk. Now, was I a perfect parent because of that? Absolutely not. But it didn't keep me from going backwards to a place that I had no business going to that would have dragged me down. It wouldn't have been long before I'd be owned by those drugs. And so I call it a gift of responsibility. The gift of being a responsible father kept me on track, helped me to make good decisions because I was responsible for this child and the example I set for him. So that's one example. What about in your life? I mean, you've already mentioned your girls, but can you be more specific?
I think there were times when, after my divorce, that I felt a little, you know, weighed down. What else can you say? Like, I really don't want to do this, and I'm going to have to do this by myself now, and this is going to be difficult, and I don't want to, you know, do this by myself. Not, I still wanted my girls, but, and I feel like whenever I had those moments, and when you're trying to do this on your own as a single parent, you have those moments like, oh, God, I have to do everything. You know, I'm everything, and I see one of my daughters, or they ask me something, or they give me this great big hug or something. And it was like fuel that kind of gave me that second wind to keep on going on. And I want to encourage parents, young parents, as you're going through, sometimes you think about all the responsibilities that you have, taking people, you're the taxi cab driver, you're the maid, and you know, all of these things that you can think about, all the responsibilities, but we encourage you to think about the gift that if you didn't have these little people, you know.
Would you stay in that good place, a place of blessing,
mm-hmm.
in God's will, doing
mm-hmm.
what he called you to do? And my answer to that is, nope.
I
wouldn't. You know, I feel sure that's part of what, because I would go, I can't do this. I have a son that I owe to set the best example I can.
Well, you know, yes, I would, because I thought about that, because they also kept me on track doing the right thing, because I knew I had these two little people looking at everything I did.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So there were certain things and certain examples that I felt like I couldn't do. And as a young parent, sometimes I did fall down, but I think they also helped me get back up and get back on track, because, you know, I wasn't a perfect parent.
mm-hmm.
But I think that gift is that I can't do this because I have these two little people. How do we relate that to God? How is God? Do you feel like we're kind of a gift to him as his children? Have you ever thought about it like that?
Well, I'm sure we're a gift to him.
I know
he
that.
He doesn't need us to keep him on track.
No, he doesn't.
So I don't see it in that aspect. So I may not be following you.
Well, I just feel like, in a sense, that he does need us. We are his hands and ears and he uses us. And I feel like he does feel responsible for us.
Oh,
definitely.
And
do we make him stay on track? No.
No.
But I think that sometimes he does see the responsibility that he has for us as a gift to us, possibly.
There is no doubt in my mind about that. And I have scriptures
that support that he that's begun a good work and you will complete it.
Right.
That's a responsibility thing. And I thank God that I can trust him that he will finish. I will get there. He'll be on his schedule. I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, absolutely. Does he need us to keep him on track? No.
No, no. And he doesn't. But he does. I feel like we're a gift to him in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
Not necessarily that we keep him on track, but just the gift of life that he...
That's very interesting that you put it that way. But, yeah, I believe we're gifts. But what's really funny is our and the giftee and the creator of the gift. So it's
wow.
kind of funny.
It is.
It's really, really different. It'd be like giving yourself a birthday gift, but I believe he does.
Because sometimes I feel like as a human race, we're an awesome responsibility. And I know sometimes he looks at us like, oh, my God, you know, not again.
Yeah.
And then I think that it comes to him just like it comes to a parent. But they're my children. And so I'm going to see this through. I'm going to, you know, you've fallen down again. You did the same thing you did the last time. You've done that two or three times. But you know what? You're my child.
Well, you know, we have multiple relations aspects to our relation with God.
Mm-hmm.
My most important relation is my relation to Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, selfishly, that's the one I prize the most because, frankly, that gets me into heaven. But after that, I think my best aspect of relationship with God is as he being my father. That's the one I think I prize above all others. You know, yes, he's King of Kings.
And Lord of Lords.
Lord of
Hallelujah.
Lords. Yes, he is the rising star. I mean, you know, we've got all kinds of names for Jesus. And we have multiple names for God. The Jewish
mm-hmm.
people have lots of names for God. It's the same God,
mm-hmm.
just different names for his aspects. But my favorite is Abba.
Me too.
Daddy.
Abba. I love it.
It's daddy. You know, it can be translated any way you want, but it's an intimate word that says, you are mine and I am yours.
Well, that brings me to, well, do you feel like Jesus might have had that sense of responsibility to us that was a gift also because he died for us? I mean, we really could have chose not to.
I am so glad you brought that up because absolutely, and I can give you scripture proof. Let's think about this, guys. One of the things I'm most impressed about with Jesus, he did what he did not have to do.
Awesome.
You know, he didn't have to leave heaven.
Mm-mm.
He didn't have to separate himself from a father he had known for
eternity.
He didn't have to take on a body that could bruise and bleed and get scraped and nailed and beaten. He didn't have to do any of those things. But,
or even though we talk about the physical what he experienced, but do you ever think about the mental, anguish, the worry, just like a parent, the worry, the fret, the disappointment?
Well, he knew what he was going to go through.
Mm-hmm.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, he stressed to the point of bleeding. Talk about mental toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But guys, that was for me. So yes, I was his gift of responsibility. I absolutely believe that. I watched The Passion of Christ. It was a hard movie for me to watch. It was painful. I'm so glad I watched it. But the one scene that I came away with that to this day, if I think about it, will bring tears. And I choke up here. It's okay. And it's the scene where Jesus is carrying his cross, going to the hill of Calvary, Golgotha. And of course, this is a movie, and I know that. But I believe this is true. And Mary had found a way to go around everybody and get to where he could be. And he fell. And the movie shows her remembering him as a little child, because this is his son, and her running to him. And he looked up at her, and these were the words he said. And I paraphrase, I can't quote. I do this for them. He did that for me. The thing that kept him on that road, carrying that cross up to that hill, after already being beaten to unrecognizable, knowing that when he got to the top of the hill, it was going to get even worse, was his love for me. Just as what kept me straight was my love for my son. We were Jesus' gift of responsibility. He did that for me personally. He did it for everybody, but I'm taking it personal. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, there was a gift of responsibility there. And it was his love for us that, you know, I've heard this say, and I believe it, had I been the only person to get saved, he would have done it. And I believe that. You know, so I'll get off my preaching box now.
Well, no, but then that still brings me back to the question of our God felt so responsible for us and
right.
wanted to save us from death.
Absolutely.
That he gave his only begotten son. That,
God
to me,
so loved
the world that he gave it. That's a gift.
Oh, absolutely.
And his son
and
was.
He knew it from the Garden of Eden. I mean, we won't go into all that, but I believe that. When he said to the snake that you will bruise the heel and the heel of man will bruise you, and I'm paraphrasing, he was talking about Jesus. He was talking, I believe it. That was a prophecy from God. This is going to happen. He knew then. And, you know, he chose to keep going too. But I think of that gift of responsibility that Jesus dying on a cross. Well, just leaving heaven. Can you imagine leaving heaven?
Who wants to leave
heaven?
Knowing that you're going to have to go through all these things.
Right.
It's like not that it's going to be. We have a choice that, you know, I got funny beliefs, but I won't go into that. But I just feel like when we are born and everything, we don't know what we're going to get into, which that's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know really.
Jesus did.
Jesus knew what his life was going to be like.
And he made a choice. You know, and the scripture said he chose to take on the form of a man and become a servant to his father and a servant to us.
Mm-hmm.
He served us. And what he served us was his life.
So the gift of responsibility brings these fruits of you know that you're an example. So Jesus knew that he was to be an example to the world so that he walked in a way just like as a parent.
You know, I'm so glad you brought this up because it's a perfect illustration. I hadn't really thought about it, but
Because to me, he's my way shower. I see Jesus, I do see him as, you know, God came down, Savior, but I also see him as Big Brother.
Yeah, no doubt.
And way shower. Like, he came down on earth to show me how to do this earth thing, how to walk this walk here on earth.
Absolutely.
And I can always go to the scriptures or I can always see how he did this. He left a perfect example. And so the gift of responsibility, one of the gifts of that is that, you know you're an example.
Yeah. And therefore, you know, it's like I've said, I can't, even my son is full age now. He doesn't need me to be the example anymore. I mean, he's got to decide on his own. I set it out there, but it's his choice. But I have brothers. Biological brothers, I have spiritual brothers who I'm responsible to them, and I welcome that. Now, there's a balance there. They are not my Lord and Savior. I don't have to please them, but I don't want to disappoint them either. I don't want to do something that they would go, wow, Dave, really? You know, I don't want to face that because I love them. I don't want them to be disappointed in me. And that's a good thing. I'm glad for it.
Yeah, I think that. And I think that for us as the body of Christ, and we kind of talked about that when we talked about the church, but that we're under scrutiny now. We kind of talked about that. And so our gift of responsibility that has been given us from to our Father is to be his ambassadors on the earth realm.
Yep.
So how we walk, how we talk, how we lead our lives, our marriages, people look at that, and some people are turned off almost by the example that some of us have shown people. So, you know, one of the things for me is to encourage me as well as everybody else is to remember that we do, as God's children, have that gift of responsibility and that we should be examples.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I never want to leave our listeners where I got left so many times as a Christian, and that is, well, that's wonderful. Why do I do that? Two things. First of all, if you're setting an example for your children, remember how much you love them and how important it is that they see that example. But ultimately, we can't be the examples we really want to be. Because I'm a flesh, you know, I have bones and a mind that wants to wander off. And where I'm going with this is I just want to share, how do you walk the walk? And the answer for me is every day, Lord, help. You know,
yeah,
I've said this before. The most spiritual prayer I pray most days is one word. Help.
I think that, and I think it's to be mindful.
Yes. Yeah, there
to
you
be
go.
Mindful of, you know, your day-to-day walk. It's not, we all fall down. It's not that you fell down. It's how you got up. It's that you attempted. Because I feel like if God sees you attempting, he's going to make things, he's going to make the path.
But I want to go a little different, because I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. But what I don't want to lay on our people, on the people listening, of what was laid on to me for so many years, and that it was up to me and my own strength and my own power to do this, to do all the things I was supposed to do. And it wasn't until I realized I don't have the power. I'm not Jesus. I'm not going to be perfect. And that the only person who was Jesus, and therefore I have to depend on God to help me.
Oh, and
I wholeheartedly
agree with that.
I know.
But as you mature, you reach a point, and I'm not saying you don't ever need God, but some of the things that were a struggle for you when I was 20 are not the same struggle for me.
Oh,
so as long as you age, you mature in Christ, and that becomes a little easier. But no, I don't feel like it's in our own strength. I feel like God, I know God gives me the strength to do it, to be the example that I need to be. And we do know, because sometimes I feel like we don't want to take on the responsibility. We do know right from wrong.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Sure.
And I'm not saying certainly haven't been perfect and haven't. And God gives us, it's following that still small voice in your head that says, you know, you might not want to hang out with her. She does a pretty, just watch her.
Yeah.
You know, it's following that voice in your head, that gut instinct. That's the Holy Spirit a lot of times. So that God gives us a check and balance system. We just have to learn to listen to it. There have been times, I know for me, I'm not the only person, there's been certain people, certain things. I didn't always listen, and when I didn't listen, something kind of, it didn't work out well. But there were checks in my spirit at certain points in my, he might not be the best man for you. Something just ain't right there. You know, these little checks in your spirit, nudging from the Holy Spirit or your gut feeling, is a good way to follow where you should go with that.
I just want to add, because this is just a really big thing for me. And so maybe I'm overemphasizing. If I am, please forgive me. Because I live a large portion of my early Christian life striving to live up to the standard that was presented to me every Sunday and Wednesday, and failing because it was all based on my abilities, and I was never able. And so I just want folks to know that, yes, there is a gift of responsibility. It results in you choosing to want to do right. You still, I do, even today, and always will need God's Spirit in me, helping me. I have to depend on that, or I will fail.
And I do believe that. I guess, you know, coming from two different areas, really had, you know, kind of like I didn't fall into Christianity. I was always exposed to it. But I never had that guilt.
Oh, I did. Yeah,
just
okay. Good.
On me.
And that
like
was in
that.
My personal.
I just felt like, you know, God always nudged me along. And I feel like that's the gift that he gives us, is nudging. Like, or it may have taken years, because I did have some guilt a little bit, like I should be doing this or whatever. But all of a sudden, I feel free from, and I guess it goes back to that brimstone and fire that was preached in the 60s and 70s, if you grew up with that. I feel so free from that
yeah,
I don't.
About this last
yeah.
Era.
Yeah, that era that I feel free from that, so I don't see that. I feel like, you know, we have a choice. We make choices every day, and you do know right from wrong. And
that is a choice.
And that is a choice. I feel like I get nudges, because sometimes you do make the wrong thing. Sometimes you make the wrong decision, and you know it's the wrong decision. We just don't want to always accept the responsibility that you knew it. We want to throw it off on the devil or somebody else, but you made the wrong choice.
I call that. The screaming whisper of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because you pretend it's a whisper, and the truth is he's going, no.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't want to hear it.
That's also a gift of responsibility, too, if you want to look at it like that. Because sometimes you do. The times that I've done wrong, a lot of the times I can say, I knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do it.
And we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. Nobody's expected to be perfect. Thank goodness. I have a Savior that took care of that.
Yes.
You know, I just want to do the best I can with the tools I have. But one of the tools I have is God's Spirit. And if I would draw on it and say, Lord, help me. You know, I just want to punch this guy in the nose. But I know I'm not supposed to. And I don't even want to feel this way. Change my heart. He will.
He does.
Yes.
And he listens. Or you'll get that, like, that feeling when you just feel like, I just want to punch this guy in the nose. When you get that feeling, the altar feeling that will come across, but that ain't right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it doesn't say that ain't right, but in Black woman vernacular, that ain't right. And so you listen, you either pick one of those things, like,
you're going to get in and embrace that idea.
Yes.
Or you're going to reject it and push it away and say, Lord, I don't want to think this way. I don't want to act this way.
Right.
Help me. And he will change your heart. Now, it's not magic.
No, it's not. And when
it may take 2 days.
Or you may take a couple of punches in the nose, and then maybe that guy punches you back and knocks your light out, and then you kind of learn. I feel like that's God, too. Like, oh, wait, I told you.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you know, we tend to want to live our lives based on feelings. That's a human trait.
It is.
But the truth is I feel like punching those guys in the nose. But God says, no, that is not how I want you to be, so I choose not to. And then I ask God to change my feeling, my heart, and he will.
And he does.
That's the part that may take a little while.
It does sometimes.
But if I will yield to him, he will do it. I've experienced that.
And the more you yield to those nudgings of the Holy Spirit, the easier it'll be. Maybe you'll learn, instead of punching, when I feel like I want to punch you in the nose, I'm going to walk away. It's going to be those things that, and that's the Holy Spirit telling you, just walk away. He's going to say a bunch. You hear this in your mind. You know he's going to say something. Just walk away.
You know,
I came up, and now we're getting off track, but I want to share this anyway because it's fun. It's a fun thing. A few years ago, I don't know what I was doing or where I was, but I said these words came out of my mouth. You don't worry about it. You cannot hurt my feelings. And I heard God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, say to me, yes, that is the attitude you're supposed to have. And I asked him, I said, I'm not sure I understand. He said, that attitude that says right or wrong, good or bad, you can't hurt my feelings. You can't cause me to not love you. I've even rephrased it, and I've said this to people. I'm going to love you whether you like it or not. Now I've taken that control away from those people. I've taken it away from my flesh. I've taken it away from our enemy. And I've said, slap me, kick me, call me names. I'm going to love you. You don't get to choose. I choose. And that has set me free.
And
now, I don't always do it. I wish I did. But it has really helped.
That's, to me, some of the fruit of the gift of responsibility, because that goes back to your responsibility that I feel to you, God, so that I know that I'm supposed to be a man of God. And so these are things that I can no longer do. And I guess that I see that for women, too, I feel like there are I did a YouTube video on how women dress now. And as a older woman of God, I feel like, you know, not that I'm supposed to comment, and I feel like you could dress however you want, but for us to think that some way that you dress cannot be the best example of a godly woman, and that we need to be conscious of that, not taking your responsibility or your choice into what you dress, but there are certain things that I would never wear to church that...
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. Okay, it's kind of interesting. I haven't thought about putting it this way. But do you think the gift of the responsibility grows?
I think
or
as you mature.
Through your life?
I think as you get older, I feel myself now, and you know, some people, it was back in the day, we used to have spiritual moms.
Uh-huh.
And I've kind of, however, I feel like I have some spiritual daughters now.
Okay.
And so I feel like beyond my own daughters that I have these spiritual daughters that I feel like I have the responsibility of showing how to be a godly wife, how to be a godly woman and walk that.
Wow. See, because I hadn't really, until just now, I hadn't really, you know, I mean, I know I want to be something for my brothers to be proud of,
right,
both biological and spiritual, something for my son to be proud of. But I guess, you know, I'm 60 years old, and there are people who are all, without really thinking about it, are going to be looking at me who are younger, people at work. So, yeah,
right.
My responsibility may be greater than it ever was, and I hadn't really thought. I guess that seems silly, but be honest, we haven't really thought about that.
I have thought about that. I feel like when you get in your late 50s and 60s that, you know, if I do something, like I'm just going to use this for example, as almost a 60-year-old woman, I'm 58 years old, so I go to work in a mini skirt. Just saying. Would never happen. I don't have that, but just saying. If I went to work in a mini skirt, somebody would say, Miss Linda, wow. What's up with you?
Yeah.
You know, first of all, because I'm an older woman. Yeah.
It might not think much about it.
Right.
That's very interesting. I guess I hadn't thought about it. My responsibilities are greater than they've ever been.
Well, when you think about, like, if you do something at work, people will also assume that with your age. Like, you are too old to be acting that childish or whatever. And not that we have to always give into that, but there is an example. People expect you to be at a certain level in your maturity.
Yeah. Well, that should be true for our spiritual side. Not
right.
Just our chronological.
Right.
Secular, whatever you want to call
right.
it. Right. To be honest, you hadn't really thought about it that way. But, yeah, If I walk into any church, just by the fact that I'm 60, people are looking at me a little more different than if I'm 12 years old.
And sometimes
and expecting more of me.
Definitely.
That's a that's
when
a
I'm at work, women come up to me and say, "Listen," and I call Miss Linda at work, even by my bosses. Miss Linda, what do you think about that? And it's not because it's because of my age.
Yeah.
You know?
They expect you to be able to share some experience.
Right.
Some knowledge of hard knocks or whatever you want to call it. But that's very interesting. I hadn't really thought about it. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm like, well, duh.
So I guess sometimes the gift of responsibility brings on a sense of maturity.
Yeah, absolutely. And others, I think, should or do look at you. Now, unfortunately, we know people that I think have gone the other way. Sometimes I think in some ways I'm going the other way.
And sometimes I feel like it's good to have fun. I think that's an example, too.
Doesn't mean you can't have fun.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't be childlike. We've had this discussion.
Yeah.
There's a difference between being childish
mm-hmm.
and being childlike.
Right.
I hope as I get older, I actually get more childlike, that I am more thrilled by a sunset
mm-hmm.
or a bird or an act of kindness. I hope I'm more childlike because that's what Jesus said, unless you become as children. That's what he meant.
Yeah.
But I should be less childish.
Yeah. Well, with that whole thing, when I became a man.
Yes, I put away childish things.
And so when you accept that gift of being a man or a woman, you have to put away some things are no longer.
Yeah, you don't play with dolls anymore. Well,
and you know, as you mature, some of those things drop off. You don't even have the desire to play with dolls anymore.
No, right.
Well,
we've talked about this too. Well, we don't want to go. That's a whole other thing about the will of God and how to get to him with it. We've talked about that recently, about prayer, actually.
Right. Well, some of these things, when you talk about spiritual things, you pull because the subject, when you really dwell into
none
it.
None of them are separate. No.
They're not separate. They're all interconnected, and you can link it together a little bit.
Sure.
So in talking about that gift of responsibility, we pulled out these nuggets of what that brings, maturity, acceptance for where you are and where it is God has you and the call, consistency.
Because I know, and it's funny because, you know, 60 years old, you look back and I can remember I was so frustrated at 23 and on through many years about my consistency. Lord, why can't I, you know, how do I keep making this choice? And that is, you know, and now the things I struggled with are no longer a struggle, you know, and that's because God has changed me.
Mm-hmm.
He has changed me. I didn't change myself. He changed me.
Positive change.
He gave me responsibilities. That's part of how he changed me, where I had to choose to stay the course, to finish the job. Yeah, you can't just turn. When you got a kid and a house payment and food to put on the table, you don't just quit a job.
No.
You know?
That's that gift.
You know that.
Yeah.
Those are the gifts and responsibilities. Those are growing up. But what I'm so grateful for is they aren't the struggle they used to be. Because they're not the temptation they once were.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because I'm grown up, I hope, at least some, right?
You are definitely growing up.
We have now been married. We were just talking about this almost 3 years. We've actually known each other almost four. And trust me, she's seen some growing on my part. Good growth.
You're a good man. You're a really good man.
Well, thank you.
And
to a great woman.
Lucked up.
Now, we've both been blessed.
Yeah.
I know I have.
Yeah.
But, guys, those that are married know that those first few years, there are adjustments. Thank goodness I have a a wonderful wife. We can go. In fact, we're gonna bring this up another time about marriage, you know, and how it works for us, and share some of our stuff and so on. So I don't want to go there. All I want to know say is we are literally a match made in heaven.
Well, and that even the marriage is a gift of responsibility.
True, absolutely.
I can think of positive things that have happened to me because I am married and I have that sense of responsibility
to
you.
Me.
That
we
were talking about this even for some women, this is hard submission. We were talking about this. I'm not going to, because we're going to have that as a program, but I do want to touch on that. That is a gift of responsibility to me to be submissive to my husband and submissive. And I'm you know, I feel like I'm a pretty something else woman. So to be submissive, but it's a powerful gift for me because it helps me be balanced. You know, I've been single and I can do it all on myself and I'm independent and not take the bacon and fry it in a pan and make the money. But there's a softness, and there is a you almost become hard as a woman sometimes, and the gift of submission helps me to maintain my ability to really feel like a woman.
Yeah, we do need to do a show on that.
And
some
women may sound like that sounds very.
Well, that's what I want to say. We need to do a show on it. Because submission, just the word, raises the hackles.
Yes.
Because people don't understand. They really don't understand what godly submission, what responsibility that puts on the man.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's the man. As a man, I'm the one who's afraid of submission. Because when you submit to me and say, Dad, you're the head of the house, ultimately you are responsible. That's heavy stuff.
It is. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad to say that. Sometimes.
Right. But you guys, like
you
said, that's a whole other
right?
program. But Linda will tell you, submission does not mean dictatorship. It does not mean tyranny.
It does not.
It does not mean being bossed and told what to do.
But you do
it
none
means
of those.
Releasing the responsibility to your spouse to be responsible. I am responsible for this house, for how we grow as a family. Now, does that make me a bigger Christian than Linda? Absolutely not. If I don't listen to Linda as a spiritual person, I am a fool. A man who does not listen to a godly wife is an idiot. I'm sorry. That sounds ugly, but I mean it. So we decide together. In fact, the best way I know to put it is we are a co-partnership.
Yeah,
I
and I always
am the senior partner.
Yeah, and I have no
That's
problem
all.
With saying.
That's all it means.
And I feel like for wives, and sometimes when you're young, this is the hard place to be, but it encourages and builds your man up when you can.
Me and for you young folks, I'm mature or older, let's put it that
right.
way. I understand this world much better than most young people. And unfortunately, there are a lot of young men who do not
there
understand.
There are a lot of older men that do not understand that
and
role.
And they abuse it.
Yeah.
And
but, you know, I think for a woman, the best advice I can give you is only give your heart to a man you can submit to.
Amen.
Because if he's overpowering and, you know, judgmental and, you know, doesn't
you
know
do
how to manage,
right.
you can never, that is not the man you want to submit to.
You can
to.
Never be
so
thin enough or pretty enough
right.
or whatever.
Be very choicy about
enough.
The man that you submit your heart to.
Are we wrapping up?
I think we are wrapping up.
Well, we have 10 minutes. We don't have to spend them.
No, we
so
don't.
I think we're going to follow the Holy Spirit, who isn't telling me to say anything else.
I have nothing
and
else.
And kind of close. So do we, let's summarize. Just, there were two things we talked about today. I want you guys to, anybody who's listening, take this with you. Build a cookie community.
Mm-hmm.
Help us build a cookie community. Build your own cookie community. Put these cookie people together and let them all help each other. It's important. It's good. It's why God said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're all supposed to be cookie people to each other, not gossipers, not whatever. We're not going to go there. Then the second thing we talked about is the gift of responsibility that God gives us. And we did miss, I do want to just say this real quick, because this was an aspect, but I don't want to go into it now with 10 minutes left. There is also an honor with these gifts. I was honored to be given the gift of Tom's father. It was an honor, and it is still an honor. It, you know, and when God gives you a hard gift, when God gives you a tough job to do, it is an honor. He wouldn't give it to you if he didn't think you were the man for the job. And I'm so impressed with that, not with myself, but that God would honor me with fatherhood.
For fatherhood. That is, I never thought of it like that, but I'm honored to have the two beautiful daughters that
right.
I have. It
and
was
God
an honor.
God picked you to raise
them. Good
yeah.
point.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Yeah.
Well, it's all another subject we're going to bring up another time. And I'm just going to lay low. Is that I believe God admires us. I can't really prove it in Scripture. I've got a couple things that kind of point that way. But I do. I believe he admires us. Not in the sense that we're bigger and better than him. No, never. But that we get up and we keep moving in these puny, fleshly, whatever. Another time, another subject.
I agree, because I feel like I admire my girls, and you admire Tom.
Absolutely.
There's things that they've done, and you're like, wow,
yeah,
you're a
I
pretty phenomenal person.
Yeah, I do.
So I know that God admires us.
I do, and I'd love to get into that one day, because I have scriptures and things that I do believe could be interpreted that way. I will be honest, this is a Dave-ism. I don't remember anybody ever teaching it or sharing it or from a pulpit or anything, but I like it.
Maybe they never thought about it.
Maybe I like it. Okay, so cookie people, cookie community, thank God for your response. Thank him for the job that's hard.
Yeah.
It's, no, I know it's not fun, but thank him because it keeps you growing and moving and doing. Thank you for children and wives that look at you for provision and examples and, you know, and friends who are counting on you to walk, because that God will use that to keep you on track.
Amen.
It is a gift.
It is a gift.
Okay. Do you want to close in prayer this time?
Okay, I will. I'll take that. Well, hey, we want you to have a blessed week, and I will close in prayer, just blessing all the dads. Father God, we just ask you to bless all the dads out there. Bless those that are feeling discouraged. Bless those that don't know how. Bless some single dads that maybe they don't get to spend as much time with their children as they would like due to divorce or whatever. Lord, we just ask you to put your hand on that situation. We ask that you bless dads and bless them indeed. Expand their vision and their territory and bless the responsibility, that gift that you've given them with these beautiful children to show them what a gift that is in the midst of the day-to-day drudgery. And, Lord, we just ask that you bless everybody that is listening to this program. Help them to have a beautiful week. We just ask that they see miracles open up, pop up every day today and this week, and that you get the glory, as you do anyway, for every miracle that somebody saw this week. Open your eyes and bless us all to see the miracles of every day. We love you, we honor you, and we just adore you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Bye, folks.
Goodbye.